I'm at Planet Shakers today. Glenn Berto from the House, Modesto, California. Today, I get an opportunity to preach to you. Here's the subject. Here's the title. The trip to your destination. Today is going to be very special. You're going to hear something that will change your life. I promise you, stay tuned for the trip to the destination. Now, what I'm going to do tonight with you, we're going to take the feeding of the 5,000, okay? Pretty much everybody knows the story of the feeding of 5,000. It was more than that, and we'll talk about it. I'll show you things that maybe we have missed in this that's going to change your life. You ready for that? Yeah. Turn to somebody and say, this is going to change my life. Turn to them, tell them. Good. Okay, watch. I put all the scriptures for you to see. Let's go. So here's the story. I'll break it down for you. So they departed to a deserted place. Now, understand, I'm underlining things because I'm only going to read this one time and give you the story, but I want to kind of you to remember because I will go back in my message. A deserted place. That's a desert place. That's a barren place. That's the outback where there is nothing. There's no restaurants. There's nothing. You know, we're talking about way out, a deserted place. Okay? Nothing's there. They went to a deserted place in the boat by themselves, but the multitude saw them departing and many knew him. And they ran there on foot in all the cities. So people came from all the cities. They arrived before them and they came together to him. Watch. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude who was moved with compassion. We see many times Jesus was moved with compassion. In the Greek, the word compassion means to suffer with. So what you and I need to do, we need to not think about ourselves so much and start thinking of the suffering of people outside. If you think we got it bad, listen, we're in the house of God right now. There's a lot of people in the house of hell right now, and their families breaking up as we speak right now, and their kids losing a dad that's running off right now. This is happening, you know, all over town. So compassion means to suffer with. When Jesus wept, he wept over a city. He had compassion for the city, which means he could suffer with the city. He didn't weep over a church. He wept over a city. Okay? No. So compassion is something where I need to think of other people. All right? What does the Bible say to be his disciple? You've got to deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow him. What's the first thing? Deny yourself. What's the first thing? Is we're selfish. We only think about ourselves. You cannot be a Christian, true Christian, true disciple, if you're always thinking about yourself and you're selfish. You can't do that. And guess what the biggest trend is there is with our phones? Selfies. And we take pictures of ourself. Here's my coffee with a heart in it. Here I am drinking my coffee. Oh, here it is, the foam's on my lip. Who cares? We don't care. Quit taking a picture. Get a dog. Get something and take a picture. Thank you. Somebody had to say it. Thank you. Okay. All right, watch it. So Jesus then, when he came out, he saw a great multitude, was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Okay. So basically you have a shepherd, but those outside are just aimlessly walking around and all day. They don't have a shepherd. See? Okay. So he began to teach them many things. So in this scripture here, there's many things. Maybe we hadn't seen it, but there's many things. Oh, he fed the 5,000, all we know. No, it were many things that took place. Watch. So when the day was now far spent, meaning now the whole day they were out there in the deserted, barren place. Okay, following it? His disciples then came to him and said, this is a deserted place. This is a barren place. This is a place that has nothing. We don't have any food. We don't have anything. There's no hotels. We don't have a place to sleep. There's no food. And it's already hours late. So they say, send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves breads because they don't have anything to eat. We don't have anything to eat out here. And there's a bunch of people here, and we can't take care of them, all right? So he answered them and said to them, he said, you give them something to eat. You do it. You give them something. And they said to him, you know, hey, let me just stop. I didn't say this to other services. We're always looking to Jesus when Jesus many times is looking to you. We look to Jesus to do all these things, and Jesus says, you do it. You do it. Why do you keep calling on me to do it? You do it. Well, you're just going to have to go and why don't you pray for the person? Why don't you lay hands on the person? They don't need to go to the pastor. You don't have to go. You'll find somebody special. You know the same Jesus and God we do. So you go ahead and pray for them. You know what I'm saying? You do it. You give them something. You know, you understand that we are to teach you how to give people something. We're not the ones to do it. We the teachers for that. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread? So that's what the disciples saying. Should we go buy bread so we can give them something to eat? Should we go to town? Go all the way back. Okay, That's what he says. He said, how many loaves do you have? He said, go see. Then he found out there's a boy that has 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in the groups on the green grass. Watch. So they sat down in ranks of, look at this, hundreds and fifties. It gives a number. They sat down in hundreds and fifties. And when they had taken the loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, he blessed it, he broke the loaves, and he gave them to the disciples. Remember that. To set before them, and the 2 fish was divided. This is really, guys, this is one of the most incredible miracles in the entire Bible. Really, it is. This is Red Sea stuff. Really, this is that level, that high. And it says, so they all ate, they all were filled. And it says, and they took up even extra. Now, those that had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now, we know there's a boy. They brought their families. Jewish family did not have 4 in a family. If they did have 4, let's just say like us, most of us might have 4 in our family, might have 5. But if you have 4, that's 20,000 people. You understand? 5,000 with a family of 4, that's 20,000 people. If you have more than that, you go to 30, 40, 50,000. That's how many people wandered out into this deserted place, this barren place, and followed Jesus. So what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes is the trip to the destination. The trip to the destination. It's another word for what the Bible really is. It's a trip to the destination is what it is. You and I, like it or not, we are on a trip to a destination. Everybody said amen? Father, I pray that tonight, Spirit of God will touch us, teach us. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you help me to be able to help them. This is family. I'm not looking at this as a church. This is my family. We're all family. We're going to spend eternity together. And I pray that, Lord, you'll do what only you can do beyond my ability. Do what you do, the miraculous, in this service in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Now, in my day, how many over 50 here? You over 50, raise your hand. Raise your hand over 50. We only have a few here. Yeah, look, I got a few. So I'm representing the 4, 5 here. Thank you. For their sake, I will share with you and help you young people. This is really good for you because you need to learn about our how we went on vacations. This is how we went on vacations. We had things like this here on vacation. Here's our cars, you know. This is it. This was like the world's finest. They pushed this years ago as the world's finest travel car. And what it was is the front seat would lay down and you would just kind of lay there. You notice there's no strap. There's no safety belt. There's no car seat. We were real men back in those days. If we get in a wreck, we flying through the glass, but we still made it. Look at this here. Look, this is like, here's a travel with comfort. These are advertisements. And all he did was just lay kind of a rug on the back seat, and that's where the baby lays. Don't strap the baby down. Just lay. Just lay there. Look at this here. This is a car seat. This is a little car. I remember having this when I was a kid. I would sit by my dad. It's a little plastic little steering wheel. And so you can drive with dad. It hooks on the back. There's no seat belt. There's no nothing. You're flying through the glass. You're just flying through. You're dying as soon as you get in a wreck. Then you had the station wagon. Put the kids in the back so the truck can hit you. Yeah, so put them there. They're loose as, look at the next picture. We used to sit, my sister and I, this thing right here, which is definitely a death trap. This is how we traveled. We traveled in cars. We didn't travel in planes in my day. There wasn't planes. Those of you here, if it's a 4-hour drive, you're looking for a flight. We didn't look for flights. We would drive 12 hours, go stay in some little sleazy hotel all together and stay in this crummy hotel. We'd go in these hotels. We didn't have any kind of things to play with in a car. We didn't have like an iPad and like a little thing, and we're watching Lion King and Finding Nemo. We didn't care. We never found Nemo, poor thing, and still lost. Four fish is gone. I don't know where he's at. But we're going to look him up one day. We're going to pull that old file out and find him. And so here we didn't have any stuff to play with. We made up games. How many black cars can we count? How many white cars can we count? We just make up games. You had little games here, you playing all this stuff. We didn't even have a CD player. We didn't have FM radio. We're out in the middle of nowhere. These stations you couldn't even pick up like you can today. So we didn't have anything to listen to the music. We didn't even have air conditioner. This was air conditioner. You roll down a window. You mean, what does that mean? What is that? That's the same as this. Yeah. That's what it is. We didn't have power windows. Roll your window down if you're hot. That's what we did. We didn't have water in bottles. That's the crazy. We thought when this, honestly, you young, we thought when this came out, this will never fly. This will never work. To actually, you got water coming out your faucet. You got water all over. And here you are out of your bathtub, water comes out, and you're going to buy it in a bottle and pay money. You know what we had to do? We didn't have bottled water. We had to drink out of a hose. My daddy would say, just go to the hose and just drink. The hose has been laying out in the sun. It's baking hot, burns your lips, got bugs coming out. Fine, we did it. Drink out of a hose. We didn't have stop at fast foods. We made up our own sandwiches and brought them in a little basket. My mom and daddy were not going to stop and have to do that. No. We got to have a mayonnaise sandwich here. We got to have a cheese sandwich. We got to have a tomato sandwich here. We have Spam. We have beans and put it on a piece of bread. Yeah, I know you guys don't get all that. You have the Vegemite. You got Vegemite here, and it looks like a oil spill. It looks like oil. Hey. Teeth all black. That good. Mm-hmm. I don't remember ever taking a plane. But I remember, you know what's neat about that in the car? You remember the trip to the destination. On a plane, I don't remember trips on a plane really, you know, fly now. But back in the day, I can recall, my kids can recall trips that we took, you know, to the destination. Moses basically, here he does, sets the people out of Egypt, right? And all we hear about, if you remember, all you think about when preachers preach on Moses and the Israelites, they preach on the trip to the destination. They don't talk about the promised land so much, but they talk about all they went through on the 40 years, the trip to the destination. That's what they talk about. Because the trip really is more important than the destination. You and I, where we arrive is not as important as the journey to get there. See, your breakthrough is not as important as the process that gets you there. My wife wrote a little book on fear here, but she wrote it on the basis of her trip to her deliverance. And it sets people free because she wrote about her trip in this. You know, I'm watching the Commonwealth Games, you know, all on right now. And when you watch them, have you noticed that when some of them win the gold medal and they stand on the podium, they start crying? Why are they crying? Just because they want to gold medal? No. You know what they're recalling is the trip to that destination. What they went through when you didn't even know their name. What they went through when nobody was watching. How much they worked out. How much they gave to this. They gave everything they can. They sacrificed. They persevered. There was a process. There was pain they had to go through. And God teaches you in that trip what you're going to do before you get to that destination. That's more important than anything. Say, and in this story, we see the people go on a trip. From all you saw, all these cities, they're going on this trip, and they're going to a desert place. They're going into a dry place, a barren place. It's easy to follow somebody to a resort, but who takes a vacation, takes the family to a place that has nothing and going out in the middle of nowhere? Which tells me Jesus had and still has no rivals. For Jesus to be able to pull this off, you talk about a big, big deal here with no Facebook, no TV ministry, no mail outs, and 20 to 40,000 people come in the middle of nowhere. We're talking about all different beliefs. We're talking about all different understandings and cultures and colors. We're talking about all different religions. We're talking about Pharisees, religious Sadducees, people, prostitutes, criminals. We're talking about drug addicts. We're talking about alcoholics, talking about pornographers, talking about atheists, talking about idol worshipers. They all went out to meet him. They all went out. Who has that kind of power to do this? I had to understand. I couldn't understand how somebody could be so holy and pull this off, really, when you think about it. How can somebody be so holy and have this kind of a motley crew of notorious sinners follow them that far out there? Then I realized something most of you hadn't seen, but I had a video that went over 30 million views. It still got views. And it was a video on racism. My church is made up of blacks, Asian, Hispanic, Filipino, Romanian, white. My church looks like heaven. You get that? Your church looks like heaven. So I'm very comfortable in a multi-ethnic church because heaven is a multi-ethnic heaven, and we don't have different parts separated. We're all together in this, amen? We're all together, and we love each other the same. No one is more important because of their race than another person. Nobody's color makes them more important than somebody of a different color. But in our country, we have white supremacists, and we have these races that say the white skin is the elite nationality, and the elite person is white. And this is the Ku Klux Klan and white supremacists. Well, they were doing something in one of our cities, and I just got upset. And on a Sunday morning in a baby dedication, I've got all these people standing in a baby dedication like here, they would be standing in front of your church. I've got all these mixed people here. I had a black man with a Hispanic lady, so they have a mixed baby. And when I saw him, I'm walking around, I just took him and I just went off. I said, peel our skin back. I said, we're all pink. We bleed the same color. We're not different. His heart is my heart, beats the same as mine. His brain is my brain. Why do we have some problem with color? It's wrong. Having all this racist here. I said, I would die for this man. I said, he's my brother. I don't care what color he is. He's my brother. Well, I did something like this. This goes over 30 million. Listen, the thing that was odd, church, the thing that was odd is that people were writing me that were atheists. Atheists. I am an atheist. But what you said on that video may cause me to think about going to church again. I am a Muslim. I don't believe in Christianity, but that was the most Christian thing I think I've ever heard. All the blacks, you're not a man of color. But not being a man of color, you could be my pastor any day. By now I realize I'm hearing from this crew that I've never even had on any kind of site or any kind of video. And I realized there was something that could touch a group of people no matter what their background was. And apparently Jesus had it. Because Jesus was able to bring these people in from all different backgrounds and bring them into one group and be able to preach to them. See, they all followed him. You know what's amazing is that we think we've got to offer you something to come to church. Their church is, okay, you come here, find your husband. That's right. Yeah, you'll find your wife. Could be here. Find her here. Bring your checkbook. We're going to anoint it with oil and money will appear. No, you're just going to have a greasy check. That's all you're going to have. Nothing's going to happen. You're not going to have any money. But we have, you know what Jesus, his method to build a church? He said, if you want to follow me, pick up the cross. When you pick up a cross, that means you'd have to die. And what God's saying to us, really, die daily. You have to die. Here's the point. If you want a resurrection, you got to die. You can't get resurrected until you die. So hurry up and die. Because Jesus didn't come to hurt you. He came to kill you. What do you think crucifixion is? But it's crucifixion of your flesh, your pride, your ego, your selfishness, your all your pride, all your stuff in your life. All your hatred, all your envy, all your greed, all your gossip, all this. He wants to get that killing. Hurry up and let God kill it so he can resurrect you. That's what he wants to do. Ah, now, that's starting to happen. You're making me feel good now. You sit down. Sit. So they leave the city. I tell all the big time preachers. I say, guys, listen. You need to go ahead and book all the different meetings you can while you're here. Because when you get to heaven, nobody wants to hear you anymore. There's only one they're going to want to hear, and that's Jesus. Jesus is still unrivaled. He has nobody that can do what I'm reading about. He has no one still to this day. Look at all your big preachers. Does not compare to Jesus, what he was able to do in his generation here. You understand that? So he leaves the city. They leave their city. They leave their restaurants. They leave their houses, right? And they go into a barren place, a deserted place. And I'm thinking, who but Jesus could do this? Nobody else. Who but Jesus could be sound asleep, as the Bible said, in a boat, wake up, rebuke a storm, and then go back to sleep. Who but Jesus could write words in the sand of an angry mob who wanted to stone this woman here that was caught in adultery. And then they drop their rocks and they walk away convicted. Who but Jesus could walk into a crowd only to feel the heartfelt need and problem of a woman by touching the hem of his garment? Who but Jesus could go ahead and walk in a little girl's room that was dead and say, rise up, and that little girl gets healed? Who but Jesus could go ahead and stand at the grave of his friend named Lazarus and say, rise up, Lazarus, and Lazarus comes out of the grave? Who but Jesus could reach a religious man like Nicodemus, who could reach a cheat and a sneak like Zacchaeus? Who but Jesus could heal leprosy? Who but Jesus could heal the paralyzed, the blind, those that were hurting, who but Jesus could walk on water? Who but Jesus could feed over 20,000 people? Who but Jesus could get you on a Sunday night to church at Planet Shakers? Only Jesus could do that. Come on, give a big shout for the Lord. Hallelujah. Give a big shout to the Lord. Yes, hallelujah. So in our story, look at this. We have a kid that has some stuff, fish and bread, right? But doesn't know what to do with it. And we have the disciples who know what to do with it that doesn't have the stuff. What that tells me, this is a God-sent understanding for the church on how he wants us generationally to work together. You understand? You have the goods, but I have the answer. I have an answer, but I don't have the goods. And we can learn a lesson from this that we need everybody. We need all backgrounds, all nationalities. We need all age groups, all color, for us to feed the multitude. Do you understand? Those of you that are younger here, you need some of us gray hair people here. We've been through marriage a long time. We've gone through our times to learn what we need to do to communicate and so forth. We've learned how to do it. We can help you with that. We also are probably more stable financially. We're given so we can turn these lights on, so we can reach different cities with our conferences. We need that person here. You know what? But old people, we need these young people here. We need the energy that you have. We need the fire that you have. We need the excitement that you have. I mean, I'm looking at the band up here, and you have these young singers back here, and you got the dancers. What if we had all 80-year-old dancers? Whew, and they'd be sitting down, they'd pass out. We'd have to stop the service. Okay, drag her out, drag another one out, drag that one out, drag them out. Thank God. I can't jump that long. We need both. Somebody say we need both. We need both. We need all generations, right? So what it's saying is the older people here knew what to do but didn't have the stuff. The kid has the stuff. Who would have thought 5,000 men don't bring a lunch? And a boy thinks about bringing food. 5,000 men and none of them bring a sandwich. So we need the young people. And everybody said amen. 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 Say, so I don't know everything you're going to need. See what they said. Now, what did the disciples say to them? Remember this? They said, well, should we go to town and buy some bread for them? And what they're saying is the solution to go to the world? And Jesus says, no, don't go do that. And he said to them, everything you're going to need, I am your answer. You got to hear this. You got to hear this to not just hear and not just that sin. You got to understand tonight, everything you need is in Jesus. You think it's a new job. You think it's another car. You think it's having friends. You think it's getting married. You think it's finding somebody else. No. Everything you need is not that. That's all temporal. Everything you need is Jesus. He's saying, I am your answer. I am your source. Whatever your problem is, I am your answer. He is the great I am. So whatever your situation is, he said, I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I am the one that can heal you. I am the one that can save you. Somebody shout, I am. Yeah. Okay, see. So Jesus is saying, your answer is not in walking distance, it's in talking distance. Talk it. Just tell me. Just say, do you understand Jesus is so powerful? He just says a word. Do you understand? Some of you are like, I wish I had the pastor pray for me. He didn't pray for me, so I'm mad I'm leaving a church. He didn't touch me. I was standing. You ever stand in line and people are praying for you and kind of, oh, Lord, touch this one. And look, God, I pray for this one here, heal. I pray for this one. And all of a sudden, they kind of maybe skip you and you come over here and you're like. And then you're kind of like. Okay. And they skip you. And then you get mad. You came down, got mad because he didn't touch your head. Well, snowflake, you need to be a little bit stronger than that, okay? I leave the church because he didn't touch my head? You mean you've been here and preaching for years and he didn't touch your head and you're going to leave the church? What's wrong with you? What's wrong? No, you don't leave the church for that. You don't leave. That's too easy. Because see, you got to understand, he doesn't need to touch you. He needs to touch you. See? He's got to touch you. And when he touches you, it's going to be a lot better than pastor doing it when God touches. So Jesus could stand there and say, Jesus, come. My kid's sick. Come to my house. Would you come pray? My kid's sick. Please, please. If you come, my kid will be healed. I don't have time. Go. She's healed. Is that it? That's all you're going to say? I ain't saying it again. Because when I say it, it's done. I don't even have to go check. Jesus doesn't have to go check and see if the miracle came to pass. He doesn't even have to worry about does it happen. When he says it, it happens. It just happens. What's great about that story is that the man's daughter, he's like, okay, and he just went. Why don't you just make it that easy? He says it. He's the answer. He's the one. See, your circumstances does not change his ability to be your source of help. Whatever the circumstance, it makes no difference at all. So in the blessed place, he can do it, but he can also do it in your desert place, in your dry place. He can do that. And then what happens, he says, what did you find? He says, well, we only have 2 fish, 5 loaves, which is 5 and 2 is 7. That's completion. That's all he needs. And then Jesus says, bring the boy to me. Have you ever had a not enough problem in your life? We got a not enough problem right here. I got 2 fish, 5 loaves. I got 20, 30, 40,000 people to feed. Doesn't add up. It's a not enough problem. This is another one of those things here. You've been through that where you don't have, it's a not enough problem. But let me tell you why you're in that problem is because God wants to stretch your faith, number one. He's got to stretch your faith because you got to believe for something bigger. Number two, you got to give him what you have, all that you have, because he's all you need. Yeah. Now, if you go ahead and say and tell him, I don't have enough, then you can find a miracle. But if you're always just saying, I think I'm okay, I think I have enough, I'm going to do it, then you have no miracle. You got to get to the place where I don't have anything at all. I don't have enough. If you say that, you're in the right place of a miracle. I don't have enough experience. I don't have enough education. I don't have enough friends. I don't have enough people in my church. You are in a desert place where you don't have enough. But if you would just realize who is in that desert place with you, you don't have to panic because Jesus' middle name is Jesus Have Enough Christ. Yeah. And so here's the formula. You take your not enough and you give it to the have enough, and then what comes out is a more than enough. You got to understand, this is the whole story about this. So watch this. The people, you remember the disciples, the people are getting pretty upset. They've been out here, they're pretty hot. It's pretty rough out here. They don't have any food. The babies are crying. Everybody's getting kind of, they're starting to murmur here. And they're not listening anymore. So this thing's going too long. And now in the middle of the desert, they're hot. There is no place to eat. And they're getting kind of worried what to do. He says, okay, well, what do we have here? You have just a couple loaves and fish. Okay, this is what we're going to do. Are they complaining? Yeah, they're complaining. I mean, it really is, it's getting kind of wild in here. Okay, let's sit them down in 50s and 100s. 20,000, 30,000 people. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 40, 41, 32, 33, 50. Okay, y'all sit down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, over 20,000 people. It said they sat in, they had to count them. They sat in 50s and 100s. What is he teaching you? What is he teaching us? You're going to have to be patient. And God is a God of order. God does not meet your need or give you a miracle if you're hysterical. You ever have a baby? Anybody have babies? Are we all of us that have babies, they get crazy when they get hungry. Well, I have food here. Quit crying. Stop it. I got food. And they can't take the bottle because they're hysterical. They're panicking and hungry or whatever. You got to calm the baby down. Then you can give them the bottle. So God says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you're like, Lord, give me patience right now. That's not a good prayer. Don't do that. Not a good prayer. Do not do that. So he's counting. He's counting. He's counting. 1, 2, 3. Don't get upset when someone else receives a miracle because you're next in line. You're next in line. God is God. You can't exhaust God with his miracles. So if he's doing miracles, realize that if he's doing them, get there where they're at because you could be next in line. What would happen to the church if you and I came every service with the mindset that I'm next in line for my miracle? What if you came in expecting, oh God, if you came into this circle, how would you act if you knew you were next in line for your miracle? Wow. You would say, I'm next. I can't believe this. I can't believe it. Sit down. I got a couple things. I got a couple minutes to go. So he said, give me the bread. Watch this. Give me the bread. Jesus took it. You saw it. He blessed it. He broke it. And he gave it to them. On the road to Emmaus with two of his disciples on Resurrection Sunday, he went into their house. They had communion. He took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it away. On the Passover, he took it. He blessed it. He broke it. And he gave it away. And this is what he does with you and I. He takes you. He blesses you. He breaks you. And then he gives you to the world. Until you allow him to take you, to bless you, and to break you, you don't have anything to say to this world. Let God do what he needs to do on your trip to your destination. Let him do what only he can do, right? And bless you on your trip to your destination. Because the miracle comes after brokenness. You can't receive a miracle before you're broken. Jesus was broken. He said, you're going to be like me. Let God break you. Don't think that's you're in trouble. That's part of the process. He takes you. He blesses you. But then he breaks you. And he gives your broken self to the world. People that are cocky and prideful, they just hadn't been broken. Because once you've been broken, all of that stuff is just out of you. It's just out of you. What's amazing is that, and I can understand this, we didn't have much, and some of you to raise poor, you didn't leave any scraps. You know what I'm saying? If you're rich, you can just leave scraps. But if you grew up not having much, you kind of box it up for me there, you know, box, I need to take it. The scraps were even part of the miracle that was there. Well, all the people are fed, everybody's excited, and that's the sermon. It's kind of a sermon like, you know, when you go to the movies and you see this movie that's really good and it's really interesting and you're all into it. And then it's kind of like, okay, probably it's going to show us what happened right here. And then it goes, the end. You're like, oh, come on. This is a stupid show, stupid movie. And you didn't get anything. It didn't tell you what it was. It's kind of the story. That's all. Let's stand up. That's the story. Thanks for coming. Stand up. No, you stand up. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. I'm not like everybody else preaching. I'm not the same. I don't watch all these guys preach. I just do what I do. But there is one more thing that you missed when you read this story. There's one more thing that is the most powerful thing that I haven't shared yet about this story. I'll show it to you in scripture. Watch this. Here's where it's at. In this barren desert, the Lord directed them to have all these people sit down in groups on what? Say it again, on what? Where in the desert did this green grass come from? All right, let me show you in Psalm 23. It's all in the Bible. You, Lord, are my shepherd. I will never be in need because you let me rest in the fields of green grass. Hey, look at me, church. Maybe young people don't get this. You're going to get this. I'm telling you before you might get to it. But the old people, we can tell you a little bit about life. Some of us need to look back and realize some of the times where God, in the middle of our trip to our destination, when we're in a desert place and we're hurting and we're lonely, we don't know where to go. We don't know God's will at all. But he brings us to a place to lie down and rest, recuperate. Let me help you. Let me minister to you. Some of you might have been running around or whatever, and this is your night. This is your green grass where you came, and this is where God is going to meet every need in your life tonight. One night, do your miracle. How many of you God gave you more than what you even deserve? I thank you what you've given me. I thank you for the things you didn't give me. I thank you for the person you stopped me from marrying. I thank you for the person you allowed me to marry. Think about the places in your life during your journey that God has provided rest for you. All of a sudden that friend came along. All of a sudden there was someone just grabbed your hand and just prayed for you. All of a sudden it was somebody that went ahead and did something nice when you were down. All of a sudden you received a phone call or an email and it just caused you to feel so much better. See, those are those patches in the midst of your desert place on your trip to the destination where you get to rest. See, some of you have had car wrecks where you should have died, but God spared your life, put you on some green grass. You could have been under the green grass, but he spared your life. You had a sickness that there was no cure. You baffled doctors, but you stand here today alive. Because God provided a place for you to flourish, some green grass for you to lay in. Look back and just see the times in your life where you couldn't handle it anymore. You couldn't deal with it anymore. I can't deal with my family. I can't deal with my problems. I can't deal with people. I can't deal with my job. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of this, God provides this place of rest on your trip to your destination.
There's a time of rest. Remember this, in your desert places, your barren places, those desolate places in your life where it's dry and you wonder what's going on. God has a place of rest for you. Lie down in his green pastures and rest. And you know, get recharged. I pray that today minister to you, and if anything, not only just today, but it's a message and it's a word that you will carry for the rest of your life. I'm so glad you were able to watch this. It was my thrill and my honor to be able to share it with you. And I pray it will change your life forever.